Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Welcome to Real Talk with Rachel Autry, where I invite you to join me to delight in life by finding joy right where we are today. I'm so excited to have my friend Danielle back. She is the girl behind all of the cute things, Oh Happy Nanny, over on Instagram. She's actually been on our show before, so we have a lot of catching up to do. But today you'll walk away with ideas you can apply right now, moments I'm sure that are going to make you go, oh, me too. And they're all from these two girls trying to figure out life right alongside you. Because that's what friends are for, right? So it's time that we cut the fluff and have some real talk with our friend Danielle. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the new name of your podcast.
Thank you.
It's perfect. I know it's not new to most people at this point, but last time I was here, it's new to me.
Well, it's kind of new to me too, because this is only really like two-ish weeks ago since we were recording
This all happened.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
A lot of fun change and movement, but that's exactly what we're about. It's like cutting the fluff and like having real talk and not feeling like we have to talk about anything in particular, but we're going to talk about things that are real to us. And I feel like you are that girl too, that you're like, can we just get to it? And you're so good at that. So this makes sense that you're here with us today. Totally.
I love it. Totally. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Okay. You have a new last name. Let's talk about that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Listen.
Fill me in on all the fun newlywed stuff. We have a lot of catching up to do.
We actually do. And I've got to say, I say this all the time when people ask me about marriage. I feel like marriage was undersold to me. Like, I feel like people made it sound like it was going to be a lot worse. And I know nothing's perfect ever.
Sure.
But I've been having the time of my life. It's been the most fun thing I've ever done. Husband, Cody, is my best friend. Mm-hmm. And we just have a lot of fun together. And
it's a sleepover that never ends.
Oh, him going home used to be the worst part.
Yes. I tell my friends all the time, but like, it was the weirdest thing coming back from the honeymoon and being like, wait, so like, you don't have to drop me off at my apartment? Like, we're going home together. It was so wild. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But so special. Marriage. You have a new project.
Yes.
Holy. Okay.
Life is wild.
I want to talk about, obviously, your project a ton, but I feel like something that you're really good at and the reason why the project just makes sense is, like, you are one of the people that are so kind, like, just for the sake of being kind. And I think that, like, if there's anything the past few years have shown us, is it's, like, you can be kind, like, you can be compassionate and all things, but, like, your motive is a huge reason why. Maybe that's something I've just kind of awakened to in my own adulthood is like, I don't know, you grow up to be taught to be kind, obviously. Like, let's all be good humans. But then there's like the humans that you're like, no, they're just good people, period. They're not good because they want to be or because they need to be or because they're trying to impress anyone. They're just good. And you are that. And you just need to know.
Aw, that is so sweet. Yeah. Thank you. I needed that encouragement.
Good. I know. Early on this Wednesday morning. Oh, we all need encouragement. And so you wrote this book, this beautiful new project. Well, a devotional, rather. And it's like all the things that I need and that I know other people need. And so to have you today, just give us a little synopsis and all the things that I feel like you have to become an expert on when you write a project like this.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just dive in, if that's cool with you. We're just going to go for it. Tell us a bit about your book and not only like introduce it, but also introduce the idea behind it, how it came to fruition, and why you noticed that the world needed its message.
So, A Heart on Fire is the name of this project. And the idea kind of came to me a couple years ago, you know, and for those who may not know or not familiar with my work, I do illustrations about complex topics like justice, empathy, and ways that we can all kind of move towards a world full of justice together. Yeah. And in the first couple years of this work, basically when I brought the work onto Instagram in 2020 and 2021, it was definitely very go, go, go. Like it felt extremely urgent. Time was of the essence. Like everybody needed to say something and do something and take action, especially people who may not have known how to do that before or didn't really feel comfortable or have all the right language to discuss like racial justice, reconciliation, and things like that.
Yeah.
And for me, it's funny that you mentioned kindness because I grew up in this denomination of Christianity that I experienced a lot of spiritual abuse in, and it was very legalistic, and I always felt like I was on the edge of doing something wrong. And it wasn't until...
Or like losing your sanctification, like you losing your salvation.
Yes. Like every week you need to just come to the front and just cry your eyes out about everything you did wrong and then promise to never do it again. And then Sunday night, because you're human, you make another mistake. And it's just this cycle of, you know, not enoughness that I was always feeling. And so it wasn't until I got to college where I had this moment with the Lord where I was like, there's got to be more to this relationship than this. Like you being up there staring down at me, waiting for me to mess up, and then me always messing up. And I opened my Bible and I had one of those moments where I was like, Lord, just send me to a page, change my life.
And let the wind open the Bible.
Listen, help me. And I opened to Romans and I was exposed to the ideas of mercy and grace for the very first time. And it like opened my whole life up. And it completely reinvigorated my relationship with the Lord. And I say all that to say, from that experience, I naturally like looked around and I was like, wow, I really love God's people. I see that there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of injustice in the world. And my love for God naturally spilled out and spilled over into love for my neighbor automatically, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I needed to work at. It's just something that I need to live into and realize. And so I say all that to say, as we moved through 2020 and 2021, a lot of good meaning people getting started, getting going, were experiencing, I think after a few months to a year, intense burnout, guilt, shame, fatigue. There was just a lot of what I saw to be kind of backing away from the conversation, not because there weren't good intentions, but because things just started getting so messy and so hard. And for me, you know, living with racism is also hard as well. But I also needed to understand that a lot of people were trying to sprint into this lifelong marathon of good work that doesn't involve just, you know, a couple behavioral changes, but honestly rearranging your life to be like, Lord, you love me and you love my neighbor and your love has shown me that I should do the same. And so what does that look like for me in my context where I am? And how can I do that without feeling so guilty or so exhausted or so overwhelmed all the time? And so there was a tragedy that happened in 2021 or 2022. I don't know. The years start to kind of run together because things were just so unbelievably hard for so many years. And I had written this poem called A Heart on Fire. And it was basically saying, you know, don't let your heart grow cold with all that what's happening around you. You know, the world needs your heart to be warm. With every beat life pours out, all that you do comes out of that well of your heart. Mm-hmm. And so when tragedy seeks to pierce your heart like ice, let it be met by the warmth of compassion. And so I basically was saying, let your days be the evidence of a heart on fire by saying, it's more than this moment. And don't let all that's going on make you cold and hard, but rather let it light you up and drive you to compassion. The Bible talks about, you know, letting yourself be spurred on to do good work. And I think that's what compassion is. And that's what we're ultimately called to, not these momentary bursts of action, but a life of good work. And our days should be the evidence of that every day. Yes.
Again, it's the motive. It's the, like you're saying, it's the heart on fire behind it. It's
Right.
We talked a lot about this in our first conversation here, which was this idea of performism. How do you say it? Performatism?
Oh, yeah. Performative activism.
Yes. Well, you're just like doing the thing because it's what you're supposed to. You're sharing the Instagram post because everybody's sharing it. Like you're saying something because everyone expects you to say something. But in reality, it's like, but why?
Right.
And what's your message? And do you believe it? And like, has it made its way, the 18-inch connection yet? And if it hasn't, then like maybe do your own work and go through the process of figuring out your priority, like you were just saying. And you also said this analogy that literally has never left me. You're like, this is a moving train that has been going for a long time. Like this train of seeking social justice and seeking racial reconciliation, like this is not a new thing. It seems like a new thing to a lot of people because it's like made its way into a lot of headlines, but like it's still something that has been spoken about over dinner tables for generations and generations and generations. So like you're not the one, like you're not the one to start anything. You just got to jump on this moving train. And I was like, yes, exactly. And so to join a conversation and to seek justice for the friends that are around us and loving our neighbors well, which is what we're called to do, I think can be a bit of a stump, right? For people that maybe haven't joined the conversation yet or intimidated, or they're like, I just don't know what to do, which is why I love this resource because you can be like, great place to start. But what are some practicals that people could even do like right now if they are hungry to grow in empathy and compassion for people around them where their life might look different than theirs?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you asked about empathy because I actually split the book into 10 sections. I call it the 10 pillars of a life of good work.
So good.
And basically, I wanted to set this book up, one, that you don't have to just read straight through for the sake of reading.
That's right.
You open to a category and you're like, I want to grow in empathy.
Those are the best kind of books where you don't have to read page one to page the end. It's like you could bounce around. I love it.
Sometimes our lives aren't like that, especially if it's a book that's meant to be a growth book or a self-help book. Like, we don't always have the time to go on this, you know, very meticulous step-by-step process, but we can make it work for us. And that's the whole point of this journey, make it work for you. But I will say for empathy, there's a whole section in there about that. And one thing that I think is super important if you want to grow in that way, I use the imagery of a shoe, basically because we should aim to walk in another person's shoes as much as we're able. And, you know, this can be a bit of a cliche sometimes, but I think the idea of being with someone and listening to their story and processing it, not through the lens of your own, what you're witnessing, but through what they're experiencing. And it can be as easy as waiting to give your input and advice until you've really heard this person and leaned into what they need from you in the moment. We can be so quick to start dishing out advice. But who asked? Like, honestly, truly, who asked you that?
Oh, thank you. Yes. she said it.
So, I mean, I've learned it the hard way. I always thought that by jumping in with my own story of like, oh my gosh, girl, that's happened to me too. Let me tell you how that's happened. 10 minutes down the line, I've realized this person is still sitting here with a very present real issue.
That's right.
That they just want to process about. And girl, it's not about you. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. So I think empathy really goes back to listening and experiencing the moment, not from necessarily your own vantage point all the time. That's important, but not all the time. It's more so like, how can I really just take a beat and experience what this person is experiencing as much as I'm able through their lens?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good step that you could start literally today. And, even more practical, if you're sitting down with someone and they're talking to you, like, how can we be completely undistracted?
I love it.
How can we maintain that eye contact? And outside of personal connection, another thing that's been helpful to me is consuming stories about people's lives that are different from mine.
Yes.
And so I'm a documentary girl. I watch a lot of documentaries.
Okay, pause. What are some of your favorites? I need to know. Give us a good list for people that are like, okay, me too. Go.
Yes. Okay. So this one's kind of odd. I just finished Our Planet 2 on Netflix, okay. The animal one.
Okay.
I know, unexpected, right?
She's an animal girl.
Animal girl.
Love it.
I also just watched the LuLaRoe documentary.
Crazy, right?
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Who knew leggings could be so dicey?
Oh, my goodness gracious. And for the sake of it, I revisited the Theranos documentary with Elizabeth Holmes yesterday.
Okay.
Do you remember that story?
No. I need to go watch.
Yeah. Just long story short, she said that she created a medical device that could run a bunch of tests on one drop of blood. And scientists were like, "That you can't do that." She's like, "Watch me do that." And truth be told, she couldn't do it. And she went to jail. Well, she's going to prison for fraud.
Well, there it is.
Doing good, gone bad.
Yeah, shoot. Okay, but well, we love documentaries. Yes, because it does allow us to step into somebody else's shoes. May I also add the Duggar documentary? It's a little heartbreaking, but it's very interesting. It starts good conversation. And then number two, the Hillsong documentary, also heartbreaking and starts good convo.
Yes. Watched both.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it also, I experienced moments of empathy that I was not expecting to experience while watching the Hillsong documentary. Yes. I got to be honest.
Yes. I feel I was rooting for the quote unquote villain a lot of times because I'm like, dang, like I want to understand you too. And I think that's it. Like,
He's a person.
He's going through his own things. He has his own traumas that led him to these own falls and hangups. And I think that's what we forget. And why I love your message so much is that we're not the main character, but at the same time, we have to remember that like a lot of what we do, I feel like people have said this before, is we are quick to be the attorney and like on defense for ourselves and the quickest to be the judge on someone else. And we can make the most excuses for us and offer the least grace for somebody else. And I think that is what you're saying. Be like, let me just choose for a moment to put myself in their shoes and get their perspective. And if I don't understand, let me ask the questions and get curious. Be like, what do I not know about you? Like, what have led you to this kind of situation? Can be really eye-opening. And I think you can love the people that are really difficult to love. And I think you can love people that are very unlikely, like, right? That the unlikely people you would never have thought to have a relationship with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So good. Something else that I love about this idea of empathy is obviously loving your neighbor, something we're really big about. And honestly, it's like a question that continues to pop up in our DMs, direct messages. They're either like, I'm having a hard time finding friends, having a hard time keeping friends, not sure where to show up to find my friends. And I love the heart on fire message too, because you talk a lot about getting curious and like stepping out of comfort zone and maybe doing things differently than you've always done it. And that would be a good challenge for girls that are in this little bubble of like, I'm not quite sure. I think that can lead to a lot of apathy, and a heart on fire is the opposite of that. Being like, how do we move forward? Finding our people and knowing it might look different than you thought it would. Have you experienced that too?
Oh, yeah. I think because I just moved to a new state, a new city.
I know. You're no longer in Atlanta.
I'm not an Atlanta girl. I'm a Nashville girl.
Oh, she is.
Believe that?
I love it.
I never thought I would be a Nashville girl. And that's what I'll say about that. But here I am.
But here she is.
Here she is.
Oh, I bet it loves you though.
It's growing on me. I can't even lie about that. Good. It is. But yes. So I know that struggle all too well. Mm-hmm. And there's a love section in the book, naturally. How could there not be? But I talk a little bit about what it means to love others by, you know, first meeting them where they are, and second, inviting them into where you are. And so I've experienced both of those things in trying to build friendships in ways that have been really encouraging to me. For example, I have a friend who just underwent surgery, and she's a new friend that I've been trying to build a relationship with. And the week of surgery, she was like, hey, if you wanted to come hang out, like at my place. while I'm recovering, like, I would totally love that. And I was like, oh, I'd love to. And I dropped the ball that week. Mm-hmm. I did not make it over there. And I was going to beat myself up, because don't we always do that when we're imperfect? Mm-hmm. But instead I was like, you know what? Let me text her about the next week. And then I went and I was going to get some flowers for myself. I was like, let me grab her some flowers too. And let me just make this even more of a memorable moment for her when I go see her this week, because mm-hmm. it's not too late. Mm-hmm. And relationships are built that way, not from seeking to be perfect, but seeking to maybe not just invite people out to where you are, but meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time. And I feel like we're building our friendship more and more every day. And so I think being willing to have those moments that are maybe not what you expected for the beginning of a relationship. Like, we have lived the kind of life these past couple years that is kind of saying, you know, let's dive right in. Let's just dive
right in.
You
don't have any time. Like you're saying, cut the fluff. Yeah.
Cut it. Everyone is going through some sort of internal battle we will never see.
That's right.
And in those moments where we're growing friendships, yes, there's time for the small talk and the what's your favorite color. But then there's also the, girl, what do you need? I'm in your neighborhood. Maybe I'm not in your neighborhood, but I can be there. Mm-hmm. Do you need anything? Mm-hmm. And it's really encouraging me to grow in that area as well. And then also finding a new church home. I'm at a new church home that's been really healing and formative for me.
So cool.
And although it may seem like there's a lot of built-in friendships when you join a church, it's still work. And yeah. That's how it's been for me.
I think this gives the people permission too that are like, that this is really hard. It doesn't come naturally to me. Like, this doesn't really come naturally to a lot of us, sis.
Yes.
Like, this is really awkward and uncomfortable for a lot of us. And something I love and what's so beautiful about that story you shared about your friend had surgery is you didn't silence yourself or like ghost the situation when you knew that you dropped the ball. Instead, you mm-hmm. leaned in. And I think that that's like really hard. That's like a huge step in humility to be like, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I knew I told you I was going to, and I know that I didn't. I'm going to be there and not make it up to you again, because it's a performance or like I owe you anything. But like my desire is to be here and I wasn't there. So I'm going to show up for you and rock their world. And again, it makes a memory. I have friends like that too, where either they have not wronged, but like they dropped a ball with me or I dropped a ball with them. And we've come back to each other and been like, what's easy is for me to pretend that didn't happen and move on mm-hmm. and never text you back. What I'm going to do is tell you, I'm so sorry. Life happened. I'm a mom. I'm just doing my best around here. And can I do it again tomorrow? You know? And those are the friends that they're like, yes. Then they offer so much grace. I think people are a lot more gracious than we would think they are. Mm-hmm. Because we have to remember other people are just as hungry for that connection as we are ourselves. And so everybody's quick to be like, hey, it's good. You're good. Let's start over. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody would hear this.
That string of imperfection, that idea of imperfection, I think I probably said this a couple years ago too, that perfection's not a prerequisite to participation.
That's right.
That's in the justice sphere and that's in your personal friendships and everywhere in between. That imperfection reminds you that you're human mm-hmm. and being in touch with that humanity helps you to have grace for other people mm-hmm. as well as learning how to have grace for yourself. That is so important because you will never be perfect. You will mess up in so many ways. And the sooner you accept that and lean in, the sooner you can be like, all right, time to bounce back. What can I do next? Mm-hmm. Or do I need to sit with this, process it, pray it out, and then see what to do next? Either way, we're going to do the next thing.
That's right.
And it's going to be okay. It's going
to
be okay.
And I think being that invites other people to be that, which then increases your intimacy a lot more quickly than it would have been if everyone was putting on fronts the whole time. And I've learned this professionally too. I think this goes beyond our friendship relationship. It goes beyond, it's like, this is a every sphere of your life situation. It's in your work life, in your church life, in your home life, in your family mm-hmm. life. As a mom, to be able to go to my sons, be like, mom messed up. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I was not patient. I should have offered you a lot more time to figure that out. In my friendships, we just talked about that. In your work life, are you the kind of girl too? You're like, if an email is intimidating, comes in your inbox, you're like, oh, I'll get to that later. And then 100%. You forget. And then it's been 2 weeks and you're like, oh, yes. I can't even respond now. They'll forget
about it. We'll talk about it.
Yes. But I'm like, but if you just say, hey, I am so grateful for your patience. I had a very human week. Or a month or a year. I'm mm-hmm. back. I would love to talk about this. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I did not prioritize this as I should. That is me messing up, but like I'm here. right? Like we can do this in all the spheres of our life. And I think that that's what's so beautiful. And again, choosing to know that other people are going to try and believe the best about us too, because you're trying to do the work to believe the best about others as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
I love it. I'm so glad I'm not the only one that has the email inbox situation.
Ooh-wee. And I'm in between VAs right now, so it's really just me.
Oh, Lord. You got this. You got this. You got this. I'm like, maybe I can send you some VA recs. And if you
need that. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I got
send
some
that to me.
Okay, yeah. So this goes beyond empathy and love and compassion and like seeking justice. Like this is truly, like we're saying, a heart that's on fire. What's a good way for somebody to know if they are growing towards a warm heart, or if they are starting to grow a little bit apathetic and leaning back and like not doing the work? How, like, what could be a good barometer measurement for people listening?
Oh, that's a great question. I think, okay, I'll pan out a little bit and talk more like globally issues and things, and then I'll get a little bit more specific.
Okay.
But I think in the sense of what's going on in the world, there's a fine line between I'm just going to ignore that and act like it's not happening versus I feel that. And
even if
sad.
It doesn't apply to you, I will add that caveat.
Yes.
Like it's easy to dismiss things that aren't straight up interfering your life.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think what happens all the time, I did an art piece about this. It talks about how you can't hold everything. And so there are things that are within your reach, like your sphere of influence, the people that you see every day, your job, all that stuff. And there's things about that are out of your reach, kind of like fixing all the problems of the world, people's opinions of you, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that because so much of what's happening on the global scene can feel out of our reach, a lot of us kind of are just like, well, okay. But I think there's an opportunity there to be like, oh man, that is sad. I don't have to necessarily take that, hold it, bring it into my everyday life and work towards changing that for the better, because that might not always be possible. But in with what I can do is allow that to inform the way I see and love people. So I'm trying to think of a good example.
I have one.
Maybe a natural take it, girl.
Okay,
take
literally
it.
As you're saying this, I had this like bing, bing, bing moment. So a few years ago, we had that whole formula shortage, or maybe that was last year. Okay, this is a very surface level, but it's just like an easy analogy.
That's life, though.
But that's life. Yes. So
there's
like
a bunch
people
of
are having problems feeding their children. And meanwhile, I was a breastfeeding mom. So like I naturally had a little too much milk. So like I wasn't having the issue of having to find formula on the shelves. It didn't disqualify me from having this needing to be something I recognized too in my life, whether it was the friendships that are really like that my friends are anxious because they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't find my formula. To moms at the doctor's offices that I've just like lost patience and they might like cut me in line or like with Scott, whatever. Like you realize there are things going on affecting other people that maybe are affecting their behavior or the way that they treat me. And so instead of being quick to offense, I can be quick to recognize like they might be a mom affected by this shortage.
Wow.
They might have been standing in line at or Target for them to restock the shelves and they were maybe the last in line that didn't get one. Like they like
wow.
What's their situation? What's their story? Why do they maybe have an attitude? Like you choose to believe the best about people knowing that there's something in the world happening, and like you said earlier, they have a story. Like they have something that's going on behind the scenes you don't know about that you might not even have a reason to be a need to be disclosed to, but you can believe that they're probably walking through something that they need some extra love for. We all do.
That was the perfect example.
Thank
Round
you.
Of applause.
Thank
that was
here all week.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, you're sweet. Whatever. But for real, like there's just things happening, whether it's identity crises, whether it's people being affected by racism in their community, whether it's people losing people and just walking through grief, like you name it. Something is affecting somebody because that's humanity.
Absolutely. And that's my hope. Not that everyone drops everything else that they're passionate about and then takes up one cause and that's it for the rest of their life. It's more so you see what's going on in the world. Let your awakening to this issue continue to open your eyes to how other issues affect the way we move in society, how they affect our relationships. So like, even with what you just said with formula and mothers, even if you wanted to take it with how, you know, that there's a motherhood mortality issue in the Black community,
right,
and we're having harder times living through childbirth. Mm-hmm. And it's those experiences too. Like, race can inform the way you move in spaces as well.
Yep.
Just thinking like, this person is going to need access to this, or this person may need my patience here. Or there's just different
yep.
ways to live into that or advocate. Or if you see someone not being heard or being spoken over or being passed over, it's like, oh, hold on, I think she was actually saying something, right. raising a really good
point.
Or
she was first, right.
Mm-hmm. She was first, mm-hmm. exactly. And that's another way. I know privilege can be a scary word for folks, but what you just talked about a second ago was an example of the privilege right. you had in that moment.
Right, exactly.
And if we pan out and view privileges as, oh, in this moment, this thing doesn't affect me in life as negatively as it affects this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can I do
right.
to advocate on their behalf?
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. That's what it's all about.
So good. And we all yeah. have giftings to offer. And that's something, too, mm-hmm. to realize. It's like, it's not sharing a post on Instagram. It might make a difference. It's my small little a small dent, but like
mm-hmm.
there's a gifting that you have, whether it's justice. You're the girl in the doctor's office. It's like, she was first. I think she had something to say. Like, I'm not the patient you need to be seeing right now. Or you have the gift of generosity and mm-hmm. you feel the need to donate financially to a nonprofit or something that helps people that are less privileged in your community. Or you have the gift of time. Like, your season in life affords you a lot of time. So you can mm-hmm. like, you can go out and do things with your hands and your time. Like, whatever we have, like, we all have a gift and something to offer. And
absolutely.
It's taking inventory over what you're good at and what you have
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and realizing what other people don't have that mm-hmm. could benefit from you showing up.
Absolutely. I like to talk about that idea of present purpose a lot, because people are like, what do I do with my whole life? And it's like, hey, maybe you don't have to figure that out right now, but what you can figure out is, what can you do right now? And that often looks like taking a look at the causes you care about, the passions that you have, and the skills that you have.
Yeah.
And putting that together and finding, in this present moment, I'm passionate about ending trafficking, or that's the cause that I care about.
Sure.
I'm passionate about baking, and I've got skills for that. Like, maybe I'm going to raise money and bake some things and donate to a human trafficking organization. And right. that's going to be my present purpose.
Right.
And how beautiful. How
you are a perfect example of this. I do have to honor you that, like, you're like, hey, I love to create and like make art and do beautiful things in my mind, make them happen on paper or digitally. Mm-hmm. And I also have this huge passion for racial reconciliation and for social justice. So, like, I'm going to find the intersection, and you do. And I hope our friends on YouTube see the beautiful art behind you, because you like, you have all displayed. But like, you do it so well, and like, the beautiful things that can happen when you show up with your gift to a place that you have passion for and mm-hmm. know that you're called to love your neighbor and to do
absolutely.
Something bigger than you. Really, honestly, can turn into something wild. It could be a book like you have, and it could be a whole thing. Or it could be simply that you lay your head down at night knowing that you don't, like, you moved forward
mm-hmm.
and you helped your community move forward, and you were working for the ultimate good. So
absolutely.
Whatever it is, it could be big outcome, holding a microphone. It could be small movements, but regardless, it matters. So yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful. You have the artwork behind you. It's one of my favorites. It says, it doesn't have to happen to you for it to matter to you.
Absolutely.
And it is that idea.
Empathy 101.
Empathy.
Just let it matter. Let it matter.
Let it matter. Okay. Yes. Let's talk about maybe someone who's sitting in this conversation and they now have a heart on fire. Yes.
Ooh.
I'm so excited. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm ready to show up. Like, what are some resources? Like, I have, like you were saying, I have a huge passion for trafficking. And like, mm-hmm. I want to work to the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have a huge passion for ending the maternal mortality rate for Black women in my community, like, what is something I could do for that? Do you have mm-hmm. a good place people could go to find resources of next steps, things that they could do right now?
You know, because there are so many possibilities here, yeah. I think it creates a unique moment yeah. of empowerment for each individual person, because now that you've awakened to
yes.
the causes that you really care about and the other things that you're passionate about and the skills that you have an opportunity to sit back and be like, these are now the ingredients of my unique contribution to this world.
Wow.
And think about it like you're about to bake a cake. You've got these ingredients and it's time for you to sit and put them together.
Yeah.
What does it look like to brainstorm? Okay. Am I busy this weekend? Probably not. Maybe I can visit so-and-so because I've heard they have this thing, and then I could crochet them a little thing for their baby and I could bring it to them. And like, you're just brainstorming. Or, okay, I want to donate some money to a cause. Let me spend like 10 minutes on Friday afternoon and just Google what's in my local area.
Yep.
Maybe I could stop by. Do they need in-kind donations? And like, what a unique opportunity. Just like, you're baking your own little cake of your unique contribution. And at the end, it's completely unique to you. No one else will have that contribution that you have. And that's why what we all do is so important.
Yep.
Because there are people, I may have an audience of X number of people, and there's some people that you can reach, Rachel, that I will never be able to.
Sure.
You're already reaching people that I will never be able to reach, simply because you're there where you are and you're living into your calling and your purpose in a way that's unique to you. Mm. Real talk. And I think that that's an opportunity that everybody has. And how exciting.
How exciting, for sure. How scary sometimes, but how exciting. And
yes.
Like choosing to be excited over afraid. That's my problem. Like, oh, shoot, here we go. Oh, but I love that. Yeah. Yeah, how exciting, baking a cake. And I also want to speak to the girl who maybe loves this conversation. And thank you for being honest. If this is you, friend, that she's like, I just have a little ember. It's not on fire quite mm-hmm. yet. But I'm leaning in more than I was yesterday. And I want to say thank you for being brave. And that, like you said earlier, perfection is not a prerequisite for participation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be fully inflamed on fire, wildfire situation for you to be able to just be a little bit more curious today. 1% more than yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think any movement forward is something beautiful and should be applauded. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are a treasure. You know, you're contagious.
Stop it.
Happy Danny. I love it.
I'm so glad we got to reconnect.
I know,
truly.
For real. Hey, where can people find artwork, Heart on Fire, all the things you, your cute self, a little bit of Cody, all the things. Where can they find that?
Cody. Yes. I'm at Oh Happy Danny everywhere. And I've got arts and books and things at ohappydanny.com.
Yay. I really hope our friends that were listening that weren't watching, like, go to YouTube just so they can see your cute background. It's all of her art. Not all of it. It's a lot of her art. She's got a lot
more. There's a lot of art.
But yes, you even have a baking cake artwork, don't you?
Do I?
Wait, not up there, but you have one. I totally
Yeah, it's in the book.
That's where I saw.
Oh no. Yes, I know what you're talking about. I have what I just described to you. I did draw and post.
Yeah,
like the ingredients of
That's
your
what
contribution.
I thought.
Yes.
I was like, I've seen
it
this
does
before.
Exist. Yes, yes, yes.
So just like you do such a good job of putting thoughts to art and art into people's hearts, and it just like continues to spiral. And I don't say that to fluff you up. I really want you to know you're so good at that. You're a cool testimony of what can happen when people take their passion and mix in their calling and their giftings and all the things to make a difference in the world. And the world is better because you showed up. So thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Rachel. This was such a joy.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.